Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As I explained last week, we're now in the time of the church year after Epiphany. Epiphany means to show clearly, and the purpose of this time is to reflect on who Jesus is and what he shows us about God. On Christmas Day, I preached on the start of John's Gospel, which shows that God's Son is the Word of God become a human being. The significance of Christmas is God communicating himself to us. Today I also want to explore the topic of God's Word, but from a different perspective. I want to look at the appropriate human response to God's communication. To do so, we will focus on the call of the prophet Samuel, which we heard before in our Old Testament reading from 1 Samuel 3. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Let's pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. As I mentioned before, God is a communicating God. Jesus' amazing birth, which we recently celebrated, and his equally amazing life thereafter were all for our sake. God sent Jesus to personally deliver the message that God loves us and calls us to join his family for all eternity. So what should we do? How do we best respond to God's call on our lives? Samuel's response to God's calling, which serves as the title for this sermon, is a good place for us also to start. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Before we unpack that response further, let me remind you of who Samuel was and of the time he was living in. Samuel was the last of the leaders of Israel known as the judges. The first judge was Joshua, who succeeded Moses and led the people of Israel into the promised land. While the people remained loyal to God during Joshua's life, they periodically rejected God thereafter. Each time they did this, God allowed them to experience the consequences of their apostasy, which usually involved oppression from the surrounding nations. Yet God never rejected his people as they deserved. He never abandoned them. When they repented of their apostasy and cried out to God again for help, he heard them. He sent another judge to lead them and communicate his word to them anew. And this cycle of sin, repentance, and forgiveness continued until the time of Samuel, who then passed the leadership of Israel onto the kings, first to King Saul and then to King David. How Samuel became a judge is itself a beautiful example of God's grace. Samuel was a member of the Levites, the tribe of Israel from whom the priests and their assistants came. Samuel's mother Hannah was barren, until she prayed to the Lord, who heard her prayer and blessed her first with Samuel and then with other children. When Samuel was old enough, Hannah brought him to the priest Eli to help serve in the tabernacle, God's house. Sadly, in contrast to Samuel, Eli's sons were wicked, unfaithful priests. So when God called Samuel, as we just heard, he also gave him a message for Eli. Because of Eli's son's blasphemy, they would die, and others, still faithful to God, would serve as his spokesman instead. And soon after this, God's word was fulfilled. Eli and his sons died, and Samuel became both judge and prophet over Israel. And so, the calling of Samuel shows us the importance of taking God's word seriously. God doesn't want to engage us with small talk, but he has important things that he wants to communicate to us. That communication can be gift, gospel, as in his granting of Hannah's request to have a child whose name means heard by God. But God's communication can also be law, can be a word of commandment or judgment, as Eli's family was warned about but ultimately chose to ignore. We too, then, would do well to respond with, "Speak, Lord," and listen to what God has to say to us as well. Not because we are afraid of him punishing us, but because he knows what's best for us and for all people. Without his guidance, we end up like the ancient Israelites, running after false gods and causing ourselves and others great harm. But how do we hear him? How do we know what God really wants to say to us today? After all, few of us have the privilege of experiencing visions of God coming to us, as Samuel did. Does that mean that in our time, as back in Samuel's time, the word of the Lord is rare? Now, while it's true that God rarely speaks in visions today, his word is not rare. We are privileged to live in an era where we can easily access God's word, more easily perhaps than at any other time in history. I'm sure each of you has at least a couple of Bibles on your shelves at home, not to mention electronic copies on your phones or on your computers. And not only can you easily access your preferred Bible, but you can access Bibles in a myriad of different languages, translations and formats such as audiobooks. And this is all significant because those Bibles are as much God's word as anything he said directly to Samuel or the other prophets. When you read or hear your Bible read in church, that is God's speaking to you. It may not be as spectacular as a vision, but it is no less real or efficacious. As the writer to the Hebrews reminds us, in the past God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And as the Apostle John explains at the end of his gospel, he wrote it so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. These two readings and many others in the Bible assure us disciples of Jesus today that we are in no way disadvantaged by living when and where we live. We have personal and direct access to God's word day and night. God has spoken to us and he continues to speak to us even today. What's more, we have the full picture of God's plan for us and the world. We have his total communication. We are not like Samuel or others of his time who were limited to the books of Moses, but we have God's word to all the other prophets as well, prophets whose job it was to prepare God's people for his Messiah. As Philip said to Nathaniel in our gospel reading, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth. Most importantly of all, we have the words of Jesus himself. This is a real blessing because in him we see God most clearly. Jesus not only communicates God's word to us, but he is God's word. This means Jesus is the ultimate interpreter of God's word. He explains to us what it means and how it applies to our lives today. In doing this, Jesus doesn't give us a set of rules which we have to follow, but he also explains God's intent behind those rules. This is important because not every topic we deal with today is covered in the Bible, is it? But by revealing God's very nature to us, Jesus helps us discern how he wants us to deal with new situations as they arise, for example, social or ethical issues that weren't around when the Bible was written. What's more, God calls certain people from within his church to help teach and interpret his word in every age. People like the judges in the Old Testament, the apostles in the New, and pastors today. As Lutheran Christians, we have a rich repository of teaching to help guide us in our understanding of God's Word. Not only the commentaries of the Reformation, the Lutheran Confessions, but commentaries from the Universal Church right back to the first century AD. As such, we can be confident about God's will for humanity on all topics covered by the Bible, and we have helpful guidelines for contemporary social and ethical issues too. Just as Samuel went to Eli for advice, we can always find someone to help us if we have questions. And that's one of the reasons we're trialling the Ask Pastor sessions today, starting after the service at 10:45. The flip side of our easy access to God's Word is that we now have a responsibility to listen to Him. We cannot claim ignorance of God's Word today. In the past, the church has collectively prayed, "Speak, Lord," and He has obliged. He has spoken. And so our biggest challenge today is not struggling to understand God's Word, but struggling to obey it. We are not only called to say, "Speak, Lord," but we are called to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." God has graciously called us to be His children. But the position of a child in a family is not just one of privilege. The position of child also involves responsibility. Children, in a functional family at least, are to be valued, loved and cared for, yes. But they are also taught to contribute to the family. Children are expected to love, honour and obey their parents, help with the household chores, etc. In the same way, we only truly listen to God if we also obey His word. And that's not always easy, is it? Like children in earthly families, we want the privileges, but not necessarily the responsibilities. Yet a child who is only pampered becomes spoilt and entitled, which gets in the way of a healthy relationship with the rest of the family. And the dynamics in God's family are no different. Just read the rest of the story of Eli and his sons in 1 Samuel to see what happens. Thankfully, God wants to help us become obedient children. How? Well, firstly, by giving us His word. God's word creates the faith that motivates us to obey Him. As I unpacked more fully at Christmas, God's word can do this because it is not merely information, but God's word is a person. Jesus Christ is God's eternal word. That's why the best thing we can do for our spiritual health is to dwell in God's word. I say do in inverted commas because we don't really do anything. Rather, we simply be whom God has made us to be. We sit in His presence with our ears open and receive His life-giving, faith-growing word. Bible study is not so much an academic exercise as it is a conversation with another person, a conversation with our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I hope that Ask Pastor will not be like a Bible study you feel you have to do, but rather an opportunity to simply be with God and continue the conversation that He starts with you in this and every service. Secondly, God helps us in our obedience by giving us His Holy Spirit. As Paul reminded us in the epistle reading from 1 Corinthians 6, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. God no longer dwells in the tabernacle as in Samuel's time or in the temple in Jerusalem later on, but He now dwells in His people. Through His Spirit, God gives us the ability to understand and trust His word, and to obey it. The Holy Spirit, as Jesus promised in John 14, is our advocate who teaches us all things and reminds us of everything Jesus has said to us. I realize I've covered a lot of ground today and haven't gone as deeply into everything as I could have, but that's really what Ask Pastor is about later, for you to ask questions about things which you would like to understand in more detail. For those who can't join us today, here are the key points to remember from God's call to Samuel. Our God is a communicating God who wants all people to join his family. To make this possible, God gives us his eternal word through his written word. We have everything we need to know God and his plans for us. Like Samuel, we are encouraged to respond to God with, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening," and then actually listen. Because as we listen, we will not only know what God wants of us, but we will also receive the means to do it as well. Through God's word and his Holy Spirit, we can listen to and obey our Lord, and through that conversation, we will be blessed. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.